Our first reading today is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Although we don't have a projection for it, I'm also going to insert a reading from Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 11 through 14. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Please stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Here ends the reading. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather as your people in your name, to praise you and to worship you, to come together to experience community as Christians, Lord. We acknowledge your presence here among us, Lord. We feel your presence here among us. And we thank you for your presence here among us, Lord. We look forward to that day when we'll be present with you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapters 14 through 17 in John, they comprise Jesus' last night with his disciples. He knew what was coming. He knew that he would be betrayed that night, arrested, crucified. So these words in these chapters carry a special weight. If it's your last time to talk with those you love, you'd pick your words carefully. At least I know I would. I think we all would. And what would you choose to pass on? What would those important things be if you had one last time to speak to people? I think to me it would probably be faith. If there's one thing I want to pass on to my kids and to others, it would be faith. Extremely valuable. Faith that can get you through things. Faith that will just let you know that God's present. And Jesus does that in these chapters. He speaks of that. But here's the last of the last. This reading here today is the last part of these chapters. So he's saving these words for last. And as always, Jesus is focused on others, never on himself. It's never about him. He who deserves all glory when he's here on earth, it's always about others. How can he help others? His compassion for others, his mercy for others, his healing for others, his lifting others up. Never turning anybody down when they ask him for help or anything like that. And these last words, again, are about others. And they're about us. Just prior to this, he prayed for his disciples. But in this reading, he's praying for those who will believe on account of them. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And that's us. It's been passed down to us. Each one of us could actually trace our faith back to that moment. We receive our faith, of course, from the Holy Spirit, but we receive it in part from other people. There are people that have poured into your lives, that have shared their faith with you, that have made you who you are. Your parents, perhaps, Sunday school teachers, maybe you didn't grow up in the faith, and was a co-worker or someone that said something to you and got you interested in God. But you think about that parent or that Sunday school teacher, you can go back to who influenced them and who influenced them, who influenced them, and now we're getting back maybe the 1800s, we can get back to the 1700s, we can go back to the year 837. There was someone in your line of faith at that time who had received the faith and then passed it on. And then we can go back to the disciples and Jesus where it all began. Your faith is descended from that. And right now, each one of you is the keeper of the faith. But don't just keep it to yourself. Pass it on to others, that they may be uplifted, that they may have hope, that they may be able to go through their lives. You passing it on to your kids, and you know, who knows when Jesus is going to come, but say it's another 400 years down the line, your descendants, whom you'll never meet this side of heaven, what's the one thing you want them to have? Your great, 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 great grandkids. To me, it's faith. So it's our turn. And when he's talking about us and everybody else, what he's praying for is unity, that we may be one. Unity is something that we have to work to maintain at times, but it's something that makes us a very effective team. And you would see this, I suppose, with coaches, and even with my knowledgeable team as a coach. I try to promote some unity. I try to bring them together as one thing, one living thing, one organism, basically. And I'm sure that's true of basketball coaches, football coaches. They try to bring people together to build unity. It was also true in the military. We were always big on that. When I was in the Army, we would try to bring people together. And you had to trust these people. You had to trust, potentially, with your life, that they had your back and you had theirs. That's a lot of trust, and the unity is so important. You became a band of brothers from Henry V, if you're a Shakespeare fan, or maybe you're not, but you've heard the term, when King Henry V is talking to the people before they go into the Battle of Agincourt, and he's telling them, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother." Depending on each other to that extent, it brings people close together. And those of you that maybe have been there, you'd call up some old army buddies or something like that, and you can still share a bond, a brotherhood. And we have that as Christians too. Not only with those seated here, but with Christians around the world. We are part of the same family, the family of God. We are his holy and chosen, as it said in the readings today. And not only across the world today, but throughout time. Back in that year 837, a lot of believers, who knows where, you know, maybe in current day France in some small farming village, but believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a part of that, and we share a unity with them as well, this communion of the Spirit. So it's important to have this unity, and it makes us more effective. So how do we create this unity? We already have it, but how do we create it and how do we build it? Well, in Ephesians today, if I turn back to Ephesians 4:2, it starts with the individual. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, again, effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit. So if we're willing to be humble and gentle and patient, If we have those attributes, we can go a long way towards building the unity. It also told us that in Colossians as well. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I don't know about you, but those are the kind of people I want to be unified with. Those are going to be patient with me. They're going to be gentle. They're going to be humble and forgiving. You want to go for extremes, picture the opposite. Someone who does not have compassion, they're merciless. Someone who does not have kindness. Someone who has no humility, they're arrogant and proud, who's not gentle, right? They're perhaps violent and is impatient. Not the kind of people maybe we want to be around, and you think those kind of people are going to create unity with each other. Could you have a whole bunch of people like that in the same room and they would come as one? Yeah, I think the odds are pretty low. But if people are going to be willing to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be kind, yeah, then they're going to bear with each other. And then this unity can be formed. This describes people who are secure, who are mature in their faith, and those that you want to be around. Now, realistically, we're a combination of both types of people. You know, hopefully the larger percentage on the good side. But we are all human. We're not there yet. We're all a work in progress. So that's where we have to bear with each other at times. My wife has learned to bear with me for 25 years. Okay. Yeah. So when we were reading this together, it said to bear with others. And I'm thinking, okay, well, to bear the burden with them, to come alongside, to help them lift whatever's getting them down, right? And to help them through their times of trouble, just to bear things with them in life. And yes, that's important as well. But then she sort of pointed out to me that, you know, to bear with someone is also to put up with them in a way. Okay. The light's starting to come on for me. Sometimes I'm a little slow. But you can read this in many ways, and many times they're all valid, right? And as we explored this together, in her Bible, it's worded slightly different. She's a big fan of the New Living Translation. And Colossians 4:13 in hers says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. That's that same verse about bearing with others. Let me read it in this one as well. Let's see, that was Colossians 4:13. Alrighty. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. So yeah, we're bearing, you know, maybe burdens with each other, but this, when I read it through that way, it didn't strike me in the same way as the NLT. That's what I love about the Tuesday morning text studies here. One person will bring King James, another will bring NLT, another NIV, and you get the different perspectives from the different translations, but you also get from the different people. And this is where it was valuable for me to read it with Jill, because she sees things sometimes in a whole different way than I do. And those of you that are married, you know what I'm talking about, right? And that's where sometimes we have to bear with each other as well. But no, it's a blessing to be able to see in different ways. And it opened my eyes to this, where we do have to make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Again, we're all human. Is there anybody in here that's perfect? I don't see any hands going up. Nobody here is perfect, huh? Okay. I think Jesus sort of addressed that too when people were ready to stone the woman. He said, he was without fault, cast the first stone, and all of a sudden, oh, drop the rock. Okay, yep, not me. Yeah. So we all have our faults. Of course we do. And that's where we have to bear with each other. And again, as a group, as a family, that's what we are. We're family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, those of you that have families and grew up with brothers and sisters, are there little squabbles sometimes? Oh, yeah. And as a parent, have you seen it with your kids? But then, you know, 5 minutes later, are they pretty much loving on each other and getting along together and everything like that again? Yeah, it happens. But if we're willing to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, and to be humble, if we have these attributes, we can get through those times a lot more quickly. Plus, we're all working towards God, right? If we're all walking towards God, walking the same way, maybe in different lanes at times, but walking the same direction, we all have the same goal. We want to serve God. And it needs to be about God. Every time. All the time. When we have those little times where we don't get along, and okay, what are we supposed to be doing? Serving God. Moving towards God. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Priorities again. God first. Always God first. And when we're traveling this path of life together again, you can go on a journey alone, and sometimes we need that. We need a little bit of alone time. It's a good thing. When you go on a journey, isn't it sort of fun to travel together with other people? There's something to that. You have common experiences as you move along together. You build memories and you build relationships. And that's what we're doing in this journey as well, coming alongside each other as God's people on this journey that we're all on. Individually, we're on a faith journey, but together as well. And on this journey, then we can walk and talk with each other, support each other as we move forward toward Christ. Again, a journey. So on this journey, again, Jesus prays that we would be unified with each other, but not only with each other, but with God. May they be unified with each other, but also with us, he's saying, with him, Jesus, and the Father, and of course the Holy Spirit. To be unified with each other and with God. That's quite a privilege. To be unified with God. Wow. I'm not worthy of that one. And none of us are. But there is one who has made us worthy. Praise him. So God's praying that we would be one. And that word one in Ephesians, again, was stressed as well when Paul's writing this letter. In verses 4 and 5, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That's a lot of ones. Again, the importance of that, being one, one body, and with one spirit. This goes beyond the physical. We can be united physically, but to be united in spirit and in God's spirit, that goes beyond. There's a connection that we form that goes beyond the physical into the spiritual, and God is spirit. So let us build that as well. Again, by having these attributes and being there for each other, to bear with each other and to be humble and gentle and kind and patient, let us seek God together in the Spirit as well. Let's get those small groups going where we get to know each other even better. Let's pray with one another. Not just say, hey, how's it going? But pray in the Spirit together. Share our faith with one another. Tell what God has done in our lives, giving him the glory. In this way, we come together in spirit. And even when we can't be physically present together, we can still be together in the spirit, praying for each other, maybe connecting over a phone call or Zoom or something like that too. But we can be present in the spirit together, one, one in the spirit. One with each other, and one with God. Also in these times of division, you don't have to look very far to see division. Division in the world, in the country, in the political spectrum. If we're brought to unity, we as Christians can serve as an example. I long to see one nation under God again. I long to see that. Divisions overcome. People working together for a common good and a common purpose. Wait a minute, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing as Christians too? Working together for a common thing in the service of God? Here's our opportunity to set an example for the rest of the world. To be one. And people look at them and go, wow, look at what can happen when people are unified, when they build a team like that. The fruit that's produced. We can be that example to the world, and we can have an effect on the division in the world through this. Serving God, but hey, there's byproducts and there's side effects, which are positives as well. And maybe other people look and say, wow, that's pretty cool. Those people going on this journey together, just laughing and having fun. I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to find a group like that. Well, welcome here, okay? Welcome here. And welcome other people as you're going along the journey. Hey, come on, help us, join us. I remember some years ago we were at the parade here in town. And we started out with just a few people handing out water bottles. We needed more. And we went by and we saw some kids from Soul Food that were standing by Frohn Church. Hey, come and join us. Yeah, okay. So then they came and they started handing out water bottles too. And
Maybe some of you remember that. The next thing you know, we had a whole bunch of people, and we were enjoying it. We were sharing life together. We were doing things together. We were unified. We were one, and we were serving God in it. It was just an example of that. So invite other people in here that they may have a chance. Those that are hurt, those that are lonely, that feel rejected, that don't feel a part of something. Here's a family right here where we will welcome them, we will love them, and we will accept them no matter what. Even if they're a little different, doesn't matter. Did Jesus ever turn anybody away? And we are to be Christ to the world. So let us serve as that example. In these times, these divisive times, to shine forth as that example, building the kingdom, but also bringing hope to others. A couple last things that strike me in this reading here. When Jesus is sharing his last time again with the disciples. Verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. To be with him. There you'd rather be than to be in his presence, huh? Someday. He goes on to say, because you loved me before the creation of the world. So before the world was made, Father and Son already loving each other. Again, Jesus there at the beginning in John 1, but here before the beginning of the world, they were together. But it doesn't stop there. In verse 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. So this goes from before the beginning of time and into the future without end, that he will continue to make himself known to us now through his Holy Spirit and through other people, that we will continue to encounter him. We will continue to grow in our faith and our knowledge of him. So in closing, turning back to Ephesians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's us. He chose us. We are holy, we are set apart, and we are dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Past tense, you're already forgiven. He forgave you. So live in it, knowing that he loves you and has bought you with a price, and knowing that you are loved. Amen.